Today is Thursday, June the 13th, 2019. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir and Parshas Natso.
Ladies, I'd like to thank all of you for coming. And please take your telephones and silence them. I know that I silence mine and it still rings. What are you going to do? I'm going to shut my phone off.
Even a train stops, you know, Jerry.
Yeah, even a train stops. Thank you. Anyway, I want to thank Rabbi Berger and Young Israel of Northbrook for their generosity for being so nice to us and preparing the class. So when we come in and bring in the food, everything is ready to go. It's a very, very, very nice thing to witness. And also those people who have brought items recently. I want to thank all of you. You can see that we're using them and the things that you bring. And so I want to take a moment and thank all of you. If I forget something, somebody should remind me. But I'd also like to thank those people who on occasion come and help me set up for the class and help me schlep in the food and carry it in and put it out. It's really appreciative, and I really want to thank them for doing such a thing. We're going to be davening Marav a few minutes after the class, and I'll just remind everybody to please take your plates and clean them off. Leave the tablecloths, plastic cloths, on the tables, and I wish all of you a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos now, in case I forget. And the Moshe.
Okay. All right. This week's Sedra is Nasa, right?
Okay. By the way, in case you don't know inflation.
This week's Sedra is Naso, and Naso has the Birchas Kahanim, the blessings that the Kohen gives to the Jewish people. And there was a question that came up in the middle of the 1800s, because the halach is that Birchas Kahanim has to be said in a loud voice. Can't be said in a low voice. And also we know that Birchas Kahanim, the Kohen faces the people, and he puts his hands up. And so the question came up in Vilna, because Vilna until the 1920s and 1930s, 1920s, really, from the time of the Vilna Gaon, did not have an official rav, did not have an official rabbi. And during the 1800s period, so there was always the Av Bezdin, the head of the Bezdin, and there was another rav who together serve the functions of being Rav of Vilna. Let's say so there was two rabbis. Now there was a period of time that the two, I guess, leading rabbanim in Vilna, just as during the 1800s. Was Rav Shlomo HaKohen and Rav Bezalel HaKohen. They were brothers. They were both Kohanim. Now, Rav Bezalel HaKohen, whatever, he had some kind of situation with his throat that he was not able to talk loudly. I guess it was more of a whisper type of sound. And the question arose, about him doing Birchas Kahanim. Could he do Birchas Kahanim or not? So various opinions were said. Some of them were not aware at the time when the question came up that they were talking about Rabbi Tzalal HaKohen. But the Netziv was of the opinion, as was Rabbi Tzalal HaKohen, that he could do Birchas Kahanim. But what he should do, he should stand in front of the kol together with other kohanim, raise his hands the same way the other kohanim, but instead of saying the Birchas Kahanim, he should keep quiet. And he should listen to one of the other kohanim who was standing next to him. And we have a halacha, a law of Shomea Kohanim. What does that mean? Every Jew is required to make Kiddush. But you don't have, at least our regular practice, I shouldn't say you don't have, there is a machlokas, but the regular practice is that only one person has a cup of wine in front of them, and he is motzi everybody else. He makes Kiddush. The question is how. The mitzvah is to make Kiddush, not to hear Kiddush. But that's the law of Shemaya Konet, that if I hear the Kiddush from someone who's required in the mitzvah, and I have in mind, so it's considered like I make Kiddush also. We find the same thing in regard to Megillah. The mitzvah of Megillah is reading the Megillah. It's not a mitzvah of hearing the Megillah, it's a mitzvah of reading the Megillah. But if I hear the Megillah read from somebody who's required in the mitzvah, it's considered like I said. It obviously only applies to mitzvahs where the mitzvah is fulfilled by talking, by saying, where it's an oral mitzvah. But let's say Lulav and Esrog. If one person takes a Lulav and Esrog and bangs it and I hear it bing bang, I don't fulfill the mitzvah. Shemaya Kaona only applies to a mitzvah where it's an oral mitzvah. It's interesting. The Rambam in the Tshuvas, he has a question. What bracha do you make on shofar? Do you make a bracha of lishmoa kol shofar? Or do you make a bracha litkoa shofar, or alkiya shofar? And obviously, everybody knows that the general accepted practice today is l'shmoa kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. But it wasn't necessarily a unanimous opinion. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion was that you made a bracha on the blowing of the shofar. But the Rambam says the mitzvah is not the blowing. And he says, why? He says, blowing a shofar is not saying something. So how are the other people fulfilling the mitzvah? They're not blowing the shofar. And you can't say Shomea Kohona, because Shomea Kohona is only where the mitzvah is saying something, not where the mitzvah is making a noise. So that's the Rambam's opinion. And the Rambam is the one who gives the example by Lulav. He says, you can't say somebody could fulfill the mitzvah of lulav for me, or I fulfill the mitzvah of lulav with somebody else taking the mitzvah of lulav. He says, shofar is exactly like lulav. You're not oralizing anything when you take the shofar. You're making a noise. So he says, obviously, the mitzvah is not the blowing of the shofar. The mitzvah is the hearing of the sound of the blowing of the shofar. And that a person does, that a person does himself. Matter of fact, many, many years ago, when my grandfather, I think it was Rabin Rassain, the Balkore was a little bit of a character. And he was not the most popular guy in town. So, and he one day after Kriya Satora, he got up, he gave a bang, and he said, you should know that when I read the Torah, I had in mind not to be motzi this person.
Oh. Is this
a friend of Tzibur? Friend of
Tzibur. Oh my. That's a character.
Yeah. I had in mind not to be motzi this person, so this person has to go get his own minion, and he has to hear Kriyas HaTorah over again. So my grandfather Paskin, on the spot, he said, no. He said, for the cult, it might be a machlokas rishona, but this is how my grandfather Paskin, the mitzvah of reading is only on the person who gets the aliyah, or the person who reads it. The mitzvah for the rest of the tzibur is to hear it. He said, he heard it himself. So what you had in mind was irrelevant. So that was my great. In other words, the mitzvah that we say Shamea Kona, that when I hear it, it's like I said it, that only applies to a mitzvah that is a mitzvah that's an oral mitzvah. So when I hear it, it's considered like I said it. That's
by the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, there's a machlokes, whose motzi is the Baal Kore motzi or the Ola?
Yeah, well,
if the Ola is motzi, then what the Baal Kore had in mind is not relevant.
Well, but there, by Zechiras Amalek, it's a little different because there's Zachor Bepeh. So there it's a halach of Zechiras Amalek has to be said. It's not enough to be heard. So we have to come on to Shemaya Kona. You have to come on to Shemaya Kona by Zechiras Amalek. So that's I don't know how they say that because the question is they don't hear the even though if the guy, one who gets the aliyah says it quietly, even though the one who gets the aliyah says it quietly. But the kohel only hears the guy that's
he's a shliach.
It can't be a shliach for that. That's stavrat poli beguf. You can't. I can't appoint the shliach to daven for me. There was a story about the Rabbi Twersky in Milwaukee. His father, Rabbi Twersky. Someone came to him with a shayla. He said his father died, but he was too busy to sit shiva. So he hired somebody to sit shiva for him. So he wanted to know whether he's required to menachem over the guy he hired.
My goodness. Upside down.
So if it's something that's dependent upon the goof, so that's all right. But the unless you say it's a Zechiras Amalek is a din on the tzibur, then you could perhaps say it. It's a din on the tzibur. Okay, but in any case, so. So there's a halacha of Shemaya Kona. So Rabbi Tzal HaKohen came up with this idea. Hey, listen, I'll stand there like this. I'll raise my hands, put the talus over my head. I'll face the call, and I'll have in mind to be yotzi the words with somebody else, and that person will say it loud. So it's not a problem. So I fulfill the mitzvah with his saying it. It's considered like I said it, and that's how I'll be yotzi. That's how I'll be yotzi the mitzvah. That I'll fulfill the mitzvah that way. Okay, and the one who paskined along the same lines was the Netziv. The Netziv also paskined that the Netziv paskined that the Kohen could stand there and listen to the person, because again, the problem was that it has to be said out loud. But Salah HaKohen, he had a throat problem, so he couldn't say it out loud. So he would, and that's how he would fulfill the mitzvah. And a third, much later authority that also felt that was okay, they say over, was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish also felt that you could do that. But who is Cholik? Now, by the way, I'm not going to take sides because I'm a descendant of both. But the Netziv was my great, great, great grandfather. But the Beis Halevi, he disagreed with the Netziv. And his opinion was that you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah Birchas Kahanim that way. He said, because when does Shomea Kohuna apply? When is listening? Consider as if I said it. That's by where it's a mitzvah that requires saying. He says, but where the mitzvah requires saying it out loud, where the mitzvah requires saying it out loud, there we will not say Shemaya Kona. We will not say. And he says, having in mind to fulfill the mitzvah with somebody else is saying it shouldn't be better than a whisper. And with a whisper, you couldn't fulfill it. So that was the argument. Okay. So, but the Netziv brought a very, very strong proof for his opinion that you could fulfill the mitzvah. You know, there's a mitzvah bikurim. The mitzvah bikurim is you take the first fruit and you bring them to Yerushalayim, and you present it to Kohen, and you recite the Parsha Bikurim. What does the Parsha Bikurim say? Most of it we say every year, Pesach and the Haggadah. We talk Arami Oved Avi. We talk about how Lavan tried to oppress Yaakov. How Lavan tried to oppress Yaakov. And then we go on to say how Yaakov went down to Egypt and how the Jewish people in Egypt became a very large nation. And then how the Jewish people in Egypt were enslaved and the hardships that they had there. And then how God took them out of the land of Egypt. And then how they came to the land of Israel. And now they're bringing these fruits that God gave them. That's basically what the Parsha of Bikurim is. When you bring the first fruits to Jerusalem, and you would recite this. Now, the law was that the Bikurim, the Parsha of Bikurim, had to be said loud. It couldn't be brought down. It couldn't be said softly. And the custom was that if you had a group of people bringing the Bikurim, only one person said it, and the others were Yotzei with him. So they brought proof. Here you have something that has to be said loud, and one person could say it for the whole group, could be Motzi, everybody else, through the law of Shemaya Kohuna. Hearing is like saying. So here we have proof against the Beis Halevi. At least that's what they thought. Okay. Anyway, so my grandfather offered two answers. I want to focus on the first answer. If we have time, I'll discuss the second answer also. My grandfather said, some say this over in the name of Reb Chaim. My uncle quoted in the name of my grandfather. A lot of my grandfather's Torah was written over sometimes in Reb Chaim's name, for whatever reason. But those are the facts. Anyway, so my grandfather said, to explain to Beis Halevi, he says, there's a difference between Bikurim, the Parsha Bikurim, and Birchas Kahanim, and the brachas, the blessings of the Kohen. He says, the blessings of the Kohen, why does it have to be said out loud? Because the law is the Kohen has to address the people. He has to address the people. That's why there's a law that he has to, just like he has to face the people. The halach is the Kohen doesn't face the Aron Kodesh. Oh, well, you always want the person to face the Aron Kodesh. The only ones that don't face the Aron Kodesh are the Kohanim and the rabbi when he gives his sermon. Or president, whoever it might be. Anyway, but we always face the Aron Kodesh. And here, the halach is, why does the Kohen have to face the people? Because he's talking to the people. He's not just giving a bracha, God bless them, but he says, Yivarechacha Hashem, God should bless you. He is talking to the people. He's not talking to God. Most of the mitzvos that involve talking, the ritualistic mitzvos that involve talking, are either talking to God or making a declaration. Shemoneh Esrei. When we say Shemoneh Esrei, we're talking to God. When we say Hallel, for the most part, I'm not talking about the brachas, it's a declaration. But by Birchas Kahanim, we are talking, the Kohen is talking to the people. There's a special halacha, he has to tell the people. He says, Shemeya Ka'ona. We couldn't say Shemeya Ka'ona because Shemeya Ka'ona means it's considered like I said it. But it's not considered like I said it to the people. And we have to establish a relationship between the Kohen and the person. You have to establish it. He says, by Bikurim there, matter of fact, the Pasuk says, Emor Lahem. Tell them! Kosovo Archos Bnei Yisrael. Kosovo Archos Bnei Yisrael. Emor Lahem. Tell them. Yeah, what did you ask?
By Bikurim, the Nisa of Omarka.
But I thought of that question. he's laughing because I was discussing it with him last night. But Nisa of Omarka, that's only the Mepharti. If you take a look at the Chinuch says that the Parsha of Bikurim starts with Arami Yovedavi. Starts with Arami Yovedavi. And that's Lefnei Hashem. So before God, we raised that question when we were talking. Okay, so but Pasha Bikurim, we're talking in front of God. We're talking in front of God. So there, we're not. Shemeya Kona applies, but by Birchas Kahanim, Birchas Kahanim is a relationship. And you know, one of the strangest brachas that you make is with the Kohen before he gets up. Levarches Amcha Yisrael be Ahava, with love. Where in the Parsha does it mention? The Kohen has to give a blessing. You sanctified us with the sanctity of Aaron, and commanded us to bless the Jewish people, be Ahava, with love. Where in the Torah Where? What's the basis? Not everybody has that text, by the way. But where is the base? Where is the basis of the fact that Birchas Kohanim has to be bi'ava, that has to be with love? Where is it? The answer is that's the nature of Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is not just a recitation. It's part of a relationship. You create a relationship between the person, between the Kohen and the people. And this was, in a sense, this was the precedent of Aaron. Aaron, when Aaron Moshe died, so the Torah tells us that there was a great mourning, but it says, B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people, Vayivku b'nei Yisrael es Moshe b'arvel smolav. The Jewish people cried after Moshe Rabbeinu and arvel smolav. Vayaron vayivku kol b'nei Yisrael. All the Jewish people. There's a greater emphasis on that. And so the Kohen was the symbol of the one, the spiritual leader, who creates a relationship in not just outside his service, but he within his service, he creates a relationship with the people. You know, you have two types of teachers. Even in Torah learning, you have certain Torah teachers who will give a shiur, be a terrific shiur, and they'll let you listen on when they're talking to themselves. And you might get a lot of knowledge. But essentially, the nature of the shiur, the nature of the class, professors, you have professors that they give lectures. They could give the same lecture if no student showed up as if students did show up. And then you have teachers who, on the contrary, that their teaching is part of a relationship that they have with their students. You know, the big thing today is, and it's a good thing, don't get me wrong, the big thing today is we have Torah tapes, we have telephone numbers that you'll hear shiurim. Believe me, it's terrific. It's terrific. There's something still missing. You might have a relationship with the telephone, not with the person who's talking on the telephone. And that's the essential idea. We talk about Mesoras HaTorah, the giving over of Torah. It's not just Lima Torah, learning Torah. Of course, Lima Torah is very important. But you know what you had in the old days? You had Mesoras HaTorah. You had Mesoras HaTorah of great Rabbanim and great students. And you had Mesoras HaTorah of father and child, teacher and student. It wasn't just the Soras HaTorah is giving, the giving over, the linkage of the generations. This was the difference, in a sense, between and by the way, there is a place for the other form of Reb Chaim. My great-grandfather, he was known as not being too enthused about the Musa movement. The Musa movement was, chastising, correcting people's behavior, whatever it is, focusing on, Reb Chaim's attitude was, learn Torah to take care of everything, you know, that was Reb Chaim's attitude. Anyway, but twice a year, the rabbis had, in those days, had to give speeches. They had to give Shabbos Tshuva and Shabbos Hagadol. Okay, Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol, it's not a big issue. You can talk whatever it is. But Shabbos Shiva, they had to give Musar in those days. What people should correct themselves, what problems. And for Reb Chaim, there was a problem. Reb Chaim felt he was not on the level. Of course, that's why he was on the level. But Reb Chaim felt that he was not on the level to tell people what problems they're making, what problems. Reb Chaim was a very big gun about that. So he would always start off his Shabbos Tshuva drasha like this. He says, I am giving Musar to myself. He says, if you want to listen in to the Musar that I'm giving myself, you can do that. So that was Reb Chaim's attitude when it came to giving Musar. He would talk to himself. He could listen in. There are people that teach that way, that don't taught that way, that they talk to themselves, but they let their students listen. And there's a place for that, and there's a time for that also. But there is also a need, and I would suggest that today it's becoming a greater and greater need for Mesoras HaTorah, for giving over of Torah, giving over from one generation from another to establish a relationship between teacher and student. And the reason it's becoming more necessary is because at one time you had families. Today you hardly have families anymore. There was a relationship between parents and children and all that. Today everybody's on the computer. Mm-hmm. And There's, to a certain degree, whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, but the necessity certainly arose. The parent, this teacher has to become a semi-parent. And in those days, you had one parent at home and one parent who went to work. Today, both parents have to go to work. I'm not finding fault with anybody. But today, both parents have to go to work. There is the interaction between child and parent has become limited. And to a certain degree, the teachers have filled in where something was withdrawn. Now, it would be ideal that be restored to the way it was, but hey, you know, the world goes the way it goes. So, this is, and the halacha is, that v'shinantam levanecha elu talmidecha, you shall teach your children, and who are your children? Your students. So the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean? The answer is, you have professors, you have teachers who give lectures. But that's not a parent-child relationship. A parent-child relationship is not teaching through lectures. A Rebbe has to have a parent-child relationship. It's a relationship. It's not just a living tape recorder. And I think this was the idea. The Kohen is the symbol of who, when a Jew had a Shaila, a question. So the Kohen was the one that the people would go to. Why? In those days, that's how Torah was taught. Torah was taught through Shailas. It wasn't just, this is the halacha. People explained, this is the way halacha was. And the Kohen was the one who gave instructions. Yoru mishpatech le'Yaakov v'sarashcha le'Yisrael yosimu Torah ba'pecha. So the first job of the Kohen was not just the avodah. The first job of the Kohen was to give direction, but it had to be interaction. How do these two jobs come together? How do these two jobs come together? And the answer is because it was, in a sense, it represents the continuation of Mount Sinai. The giving over of the Torah is the continuation of Mount Sinai. And the Avoda was also the continuation of Mount Sinai. God, Moshe was called by God, when you take the Jewish people out of Egypt, you will serve me. Service of God began at Mount Sinai. The Beis HaMikdash was the perpetuation of that service. So the giving over the Torah is also the perpetuation of Mount Sinai. So both have to be done based on the relationship that the Kohanim had with the Jewish people. It's not just when they gave the bracha, it emphasized the relationship. It wasn't just the Kohen talking to God. The Kohen was talking to the people.
Thank you very much for coming. Please clean off the tables, and we'll be davening Marav just in a couple of minutes.